You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you on this Friday morning in Vancouver. We had something really astronomically interesting earlier today here. I stepped out on my deck, and to the right of the sun was a sun dog. And, of course, I couldn't see to the left, but I always knew that the angle from your eye to the sun and then the sun dog was 22 degrees. And then I looked it up, and it is also occurs at 22 degrees above the horizon. And what it is ice crystals are way up there, and they're act like a diffraction grating and bend the light by 22 degrees. So if anybody ever grew up in the Great Plains, you have an opportunity to see them more frequently because of the huge horizon. And here in Vancouver, the reason I could see it was I'm out on my deck, and the condo tower I'm in stands all alone. So for me, it was sort of fun to see the sun dogs.
Well, on the prairies, usually a sun dog means a blizzard is on the way because of the ice crystals.
We've got to watch. Now, we're watching for a blizzard this afternoon, Jim?
No, Vancouver's going to be around 30 degrees Celsius, 86 Fahrenheit. I don't think we have to worry about crystallized dihydrous monoxide falling from the skies.
Very good.
But I used that term
monoxide.
Once.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I did use that term once, though, on the radio, and people did panic. Crystallized dihydrous monoxide?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's called snow. That's H2O. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Bob, the most interesting thing ever for an IPO, an initial public offering, SpaceX, the first company to become worth more than $2 trillion, and its owner, Elon Musk, the first human to be worth more than $1 trillion.
The numbers are staggering, absolutely staggering. And it confirms, as we've been discussing, that we are in a great, another great financial bubble. And this is number six. And to give some perspective, number five was 1929. Number four was 1873. And it goes all the way back to the South Sea bubble of 1720. Now, here's the other thing that's interesting. The South Sea bubble itself was the first one, and of course it was in London, when London was the financial center. And that one peaked in June. Now, in London market, subsequent great financial bubbles peaked in May. And then you have the saying, sell in May and go away. And I'm wondering if the two are related. It must be. So, anyways, now, with the bubble, maybe there's some sectors and countries that will have peaked in May, June. And we're just saying that we're following the U.S. style of a conclusion of a bubble, where in New York in 1929, the bubble went right up into September, and then in the 1873 bubble, in the New York market, it went right up into September. Now, the other thing about bubbles is that the stock market... The economy goes up with the bubble and down when the bubble fails. Usually, Jim, as we've mentioned, the S&P 500 will peak maybe 10, 12 months before the economy does. So this is where the establishment considers the Standard & Poor's 500 as a leading indicator. And but that's during normal times when it may peak 10, 12 months before the stock market does. But in a bubble, the economy goes up with the bubble and then it comes down with the bubble with very little delay, you know, maybe a month or so either side. So, but at the moment, the party is on. And it is a great financial bubble, and for historical reasons, I'm biased here, Jim. I'd like to see it continuing in New York right up to September. And then when we get to September, we'll use all our technicals to see which way it's going to go. If it gets really screamingly overbought, you know what's going to happen. And throughout history, if there's going to be a disaster, it more than likely will happen in the fall of the year. You know, like October. Ooh, God, October can be a bad month in the financial market. So we don't know yet, but let's just play the party. Watch the numbers and enjoy it.
Well, the numbers are incredible. As soon as the opening bell happened, they raised $75 billion.
Yeah. The numbers are immense.
And what's more, the stock has been increasing in price. The last time I checked, it was up over 20% from its initial price of $150. Now, some insiders were able to buy that at 135 before the bell.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, look at the gain you got. Now, also, though, so we have a company that's valued at over $2 trillion, but it hasn't made a penny.
Yeah.
Is that a risky investment, Bob, or are you planning on the future with more satellites and eventually a Mars mission?
Well, as we've mentioned in the past, that in the South Sea bubble in 1720... one of the exciting companies was had a new way of making sailcloth, and that was bid up. And you know, there was everything was new, so a new way of making sailcloth. And then you got the brokers, you know, pushing the action, and you had Samuel Johnson, who is the great man of letters, and he actually wrote the first dictionary in English language, and he has, here's Dr. Samuel Johnson's definition of a stock jobber: a low wretch who gets money by buying and selling shares.
And in Vancouver, yeah. The low wretches that hang out at Joe Forte's restaurant.
Yeah, they do. And I remember, and I was talking to an old friend of mine who was on the street at the time, but way back when Vancouver had a trading floor. And one of the traders on the floor, I think her name was Jill, she was over 6 foot tall. A very striking-looking woman. I thought she was terrific. Anyways, in the financial market, she was known as Too Tall. And at the same time, there was a guy working on the floor, and he was very short. So he was known as 7/8, not quite 1. So can you imagine being called 7/8?
Well, Joe Forte's restaurant, that's where all the stockbrokers go, where I was told the men are in tight suits and the women are in even tighter dresses.
Oh, I like that line. But yeah. Way back then, it was at the Cave Supper Club after after market hours was a place to hang out. And
people like Frank Sinatra went to the Cave.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I saw him perform at the Coliseum in 1985 when he was 70 years old. What an outstanding performance. Unbelievable. I was impressed. So
should an investor be starry-eyed over the immense numbers here with this SpaceX IPO, or should you step back? And also, because of its size and the impact it's going to have on the stock market, is everybody's retirement fund tied up with SpaceX in some way?
Oh, this thing is sucking money out of all over the world coming into that thing. So, and this was the case in 1929, with New York going up into September. Money from London and Europe was playing the game and getting in where the action was still hot. So, I'm watching to see if it works out again. And what I think is that it will work out yet again. Hmm. So, and when we get into September, we'll be looking for, you know, overbots and all the technical signs that Ross does. So it's going to be a very interesting rest of the summer.
Yes. Now, you could also describe perhaps SpaceX as a stack of dollar bills that you set fire to propel yourself into space.
Your imagination's going wild, Jim.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught our eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Bob Hoy. Bob, our first headline, gold consolidating after an extraordinary run. That comes to us from Market Pulse.
Gold. Yeah. Oh, gold and silver run was absolutely incredible and got overbought. So it's correcting, and it's interesting that sometimes when I've noticed it, you've had crude oil up and gold down on the same day. So who knows what's going on there, but the main thing is we had a fabulous run in gold and the gold sector. It's earned a correction, but as we like to point out, we're just in the early years of what could be a long bull market for the sector, maybe altogether a couple of decades. I wouldn't mind being around, you know, 20 years from now, but who's to say? And within the gold sector, the juniors are interesting because you get a junior with a discovery. And one of those was back in 1996 with Arequipa, and they made a big discovery, and the stock went from pennies to $30. And it was taken over by Barrick Gold, and the market cap was about $1 billion. So this is how you can go from a penny stock to a huge gain. And so this is where we have our list of juniors and those who are interested in small cap golds. And we like the sector. You can get in touch, and we'd be glad to send out the list.
Now, as we've always discussed here, the bubble of everything, if there is a major correction, as you say, quite often happens in fall, is gold something that, although it'll go down, it will retain more of its value in a correction?
Yeah, the pattern is that in the post-bubble world, gold's real price goes up. So it doesn't matter whether the senior economy, like when it was England in the 1800s, was on a gold standard. So you think that the price doesn't change, but what you do is deflate it by the consumer price index, or, as we do, by the CRB commodities index. And I consider that the CRB commodities index is a proxy for gold mining costs. So if you focus entirely on the price of gold in New York, that's all you're going to get. It doesn't tell you whether the gold miners are making money or losing money. But if you take a look at gold divided by the CRB, it'll tell you that when that rises, it means gold is rising faster than the costs. Now, it had a hell of a rush into early, right at the, in January, and then has been correcting since. And it had such a good rush that a long correction is possible. But what I'm thinking, Jim, is that if we go into a financial storm after September, of course it's going to hit the broad market. It also will knock the gold stocks down. And then at whatever they get to then, I think they would be depressed and goodbye for an extended rally. And as I say, it all gets down to whether the miners are making money or not. And if the CRB, which is a proxy for costs, is down and the price of gold is up, that's a good deal. Their profit margins are improving. So we like to watch the gold divided by CRB.
Now, up until Friday, the stock market was sliding down. Do you think just the excitement over SpaceX drove up the all three major indices?
It could have, Jim. That's a good one. Yeah, a wild market, and you get a good and big explosive, you know, doing a huge deal with SpaceX and stuff. Yeah, all bubble stuff, Jim.
Another headline, Bank of Canada holds key interest rates steady for fifth straight time.
Yeah. The belief that the central bank sets interest rates is nonsense. We've got a chart going back of the Federal Reserve. And what happens is the market really is in the T-bill rate, treasury bills.
Mm-hmm.
And they lead. The market rates of interest turn. And then maybe a month or so later, the Fed sees that, oh, interest rates are going down, so we'll cut rates, or going the other way. Lately, the street is all talking about the next, you know, that rates are up and the Bank of Canada is not going to cut, and, you know, all up about that. But rationally, the financial markets set the T-bill rate, and then the Fed or the Bank of Canada then does its song and dance to look like they're in charge. And here's another magnificent irony that comes in, because it was early 1900s when serious bankers and whatnot in New York came up with the idea. Well, they knew that if you had a speculative run in the stock market, it would be followed by a credit crisis. So then they had this idea that, well, you had a lender of last resort that would prevent the credit crisis. Therefore, there'll be no more recessions. And that was part of the story and the formation of the Federal Reserve, which started its operations in December 1913. And all you do is count the number of recessions since. There's been 18 cyclical recessions. Now, in most serious disciplines, you have a hypothesis. And if there's one failure, that marks the end of that hypothesis. But here, the hypothesis is that the Federal Reserve can prevent recessions. We've had 18. So, and I'm sure something similar will happen as this great financial bubble runs its course through the summer here. Jim, it's going to be a very interesting summer.
Right. Now, under Churchill's heading of there are lies, damn lies, and statistics, Canada technically in recession because our GDP fell 0.1% and 0.2% over the last two quarters, although the Bank of Canada said, you know, if we just fudged a couple of numbers or did a few more inputs, it's, well, basically flat. It's not really up or down. And over the last 3 months, with the Strait of Hormuz being blocked, Canada's oil exports have soared, giving us a massive trade surplus.
Oh, yeah. Well, I look at it as that there was two quarters of weak GDP, mm-hmm. and that is a recession. And then they come in with the idea that it's a technical recession. Hell, if you're out of work or your little business has just failed, tell me about a technical recession. No, Canada is in a recession. And at the moment, and then when crude gets going, it kind of helps things all around. So, but two quarters of downer is a recession, and we'll see what the rest of the year brings for Canada.
Hmm. Now, headline, U.S. inflation soars to 4.2%, highest in 3 years. Is that a major concern?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because people follow it ardently, and it changes, you know, the long end of the bond market and stuff like that. And also, it forces short rates up. So then you have the Federal Reserve or the Bank of Canada not able to lower interest rates at will. And the game that central bankers play is so artificial.
Headline, governments sell bonds at record pace as spending soars.
Yeah, that's part of the funding. Sell bond, raise, you know, do bond issues to raise money and then raise taxes. And they're raising, they can't raise taxes much more because the public is getting very antsy about big government and big taxation. So we're having, let's call it a political reform movement is going on. And in countries such as Poland and Hungary, they are well ahead on the change. And Canada, the western part, is eager for a reform. But of course, the control freaks in Ottawa, Toronto and Montreal, there's no way that they're going to give up on control until the whole thing goes bust. So I expect in Canada, the western provinces will really move towards reform and getting Ottawa off our backs.
Now, the World Cup being hosted in Canada, the U.S. and Mexico, supposed to be an economic boom, yet in the U.S., and in Vancouver, empty hotel rooms as the tournament is underway now.
Yeah. Well, actually, from, you know, I'm in a condo tower out at UBC, right across from the Thunderbird Stadium. Now, there's an empty dirt gravel parking lot down below, and a month or so, crew came in and started putting up 10-foot fence panels all the way around. And then another big truck came in and they put big cement blocks holding these things up. And then with secure gates at the front of it coming off the street. And now there's all kinds of black SUVs in there. And I look down and they're Mounties. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police have got an absolutely impossible perimeter here where nobody can get in. Now, I can't figure out what they're staged here for with their black SUVs, whether they are staged here to go out where there may be a problem or something like that. And I don't know if there's a... if one of the football games is scheduled for the stadium, Thunderbird Stadium here. I don't know, but it's very interesting to see what's going down below in the usually unused and quiet parking lot. So I might go down later today and chat with the guys and see what's going on.
And if we don't hear from you again, we'll know that it was a top national secret you just revealed.
Yeah, and that they absconded me and made me disappear.
Well, it's either for the World Cup or aliens have been discovered there.
Okay. I would accept either.
Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we had a good one today, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.